Hello and welcome to another On the Hoof podcast for Vets in Practice. I'm Alison Braddock, Marketing and Business Development Manager, and today I am talking to Colin Mason, Dumfries Centre Manager, Veterinary Investigation Officer. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Alison. How are
you? Hi, and what are we talking about today, Colin?
Well, we're going to talk about this year's lamb crop and the risks of worms, worm scours, parasitic gastroenteritis this season as it's going, because every season is different, and this is no exception to that.
That's very good, Colin. And we've just done an On the Hoof email out to people, and we'll be putting that on as a blog. So we'll have that as a link at the end of this podcast in the notes.
Excellent.
So what is it? What are we talking about in terms of nematode infections of sheep, Colin?
So to start off with, we'll just group it all under parasitic gastroenteritis at the moment, and we'll not get into the different species, but we'll maybe come back to that. But this year has been a little bit topsy-turvy, and I'm also acutely aware that across the UK there's a lot of variation in climate across the UK. So I think we've all experienced periods of hot, dry weather this year. In the south of England, that continues, and we're dealing really with almost a drought situation, if not a drought situation. Whereas the further north you go, where I'm sitting in Dumfries and Galloway, it's a fantastic grass growing year. We've had rain, we've had the right amount of rain, and we've not experienced the same drought conditions that other areas have. So maybe that's the first thing to say is that there's definitely regional differences, and actually there's definitely farm-to-farm differences. And actually, within farm, there are field-to-field differences. So like anything with parasite disease, we can give some general thoughts on a podcast like this, but it really does come down to the local epidemiology and the local knowledge of what's going on a farm and on the fields within that farm. So that's maybe the first thing to say. But if I'm generalizing, going back to generalizing, for us, particularly north of England, southwest Scotland, we had a very dry March and April running into May. Fantastic weather, hot during the day, quite cold at night. And that meant that the worm challenge to growing lambs at that stage was pretty minimal. It was too dry. If we take Nematodiris, we're all watching out for the Nematodiris forecast through April and May. And to be honest, the Nematodiris risk period, the traditional Nematodiris risk period, has passed us by quite early in the year when lambs, or the bulk of the lamb crop for us, was too young to really pick much up by way of disease. So we had a really lovely, clean, low risk start to the grazing season for lambs and the rearing season for lambs this year, which was great. However, nothing lasts forever, does it? So, and things have maybe changed a little bit since then.
Thanks, Colin. Yes, really interesting about the impact the weather has, because I'm in Somerset and it's very dry with us. So there are variations around the country. So how have things changed since May, Colin?
Yeah, so certainly for us, in where I'm sitting in southern Scotland, and for large parts of Scotland, northern England, maybe less so in southern England, we've moved into a probably more typical summer period where we've had some lovely hot dry spells, and indeed also we've had some rain, we've had some good grass growth as well, which has been the sort of conditions that have allowed parasite disease to come back to life again in simple terms. So that's one of the challenges. So the lambs maybe started off April, May with very, very low parasite challenge. And now they've moved into a period where there's quite high parasite challenge. One of the other problems was that as we came out of a very dry spell, there was actually a lot of fecal material sitting on the surface of pastures that had been grazed down quite heavily. And because it was so hot and dry, that fecal material rather had not washed into the ground in any way. So in a way, worm eggs were just sitting there, biding their time and waiting to pick their moment to become infectious and to produce larvae and then go on to be infectious to lambs. So what we've actually done is probably just to sort of shrink the infectious time into a smaller time window, which has produced some quite significant mm-hmm. worm challenges. Also with periods of heavy rainfall, it's allowed fecal pats to be, you know, disturbed and disseminated. And the weather conditions we've had in the last few weeks have provided the ideal conditions for worm larvae to survive, to migrate up the grass stem and be eaten by lambs. So we've moved from a period of low risk to a period of very, very high risk. And we've probably concertinaed, as I say, at a higher level of infection challenge into a shorter time window, which does spell problems for lambs in that they get a big infectious dose and more by way of clinical disease.
That's interesting, Colin. So what should vets look out for? What should farmers look out for?
Yeah, so this vets and farmers, they need to be really aware at the moment of how their lambs are performing. So in particular, looking at lamb body condition. If they're able to measure growth rates, considering growth rates as well, looking for evidence of scour, and also checking fecal worm egg counts regularly to see whether levels are changing. And the regularity of this is really, really important because things can change quite quickly. Because the infection can develop quite quickly and the burdens can develop quite quickly in lambs. You can go from a situation where lambs are looking good one day to, you know, a couple of days down the line, they might be scouring and losing weight. And, you know, those fecal egg counts, if we're taking them, can rise quite quickly. So it's important to be really critical of the lambs at the moment. Any dirty back ends, any dirty tails, any evidence of scour, any reduction in growth rates, loss of body condition, be fully aware of what's going on and always test, don't guess, and monitor worm egg counts as much as possible so we can try and time any wormer treatments to the most, you know, optimal time to actually prevent disease. One of the other things that we've been seeing, you know, one of the really common diagnoses through our PM rooms, through our labs, and also talking to vets who are doing worm egg counts in their own practices is, you know, a lot of clinical disease been seen in lambs in the last few weeks. A lot of scour, a lot of reduced growth rates, some degree of mortality, and that's caused us some significant problems. And the concern is that this will impact as lambs are weaned. This will impact their performance around and after weaning, and it might increase the amount of time it takes to get them to slaughter weight.
Thanks, Colin. So the strong message here, as you say, is test, don't guess. So, Colin, how do you build in a prevention program for the flock?
Yeah, so I've already mentioned monitoring, testing, not guessing, in terms of trying to respond to how the lambs are performing, fecal worm egg counts, to try and time treatments to the most optimal time to have an effect. Obviously, we don't want to treat if we don't need to. So if lambs are growing well and their fecal worm egg counts are low and they're not scouring in any way and they're flying, then we don't need to treat. However, if we need to treat, we need to try and target that to the right time. Treatments are very much on an individual farm basis, so it's not appropriate to give real detailed advice on that on a podcast like this. I'd always refer anybody to the SCOPS website, which has got massive amounts of information on treatment options and how best to manage that and work that into your flock health plan with your vet and your advisor. The other thing really to mention is as well is to make sure that the treatments are working and that they are effective around anthelmintic resistance. So monitoring fecal worm egg counts between a week and a fortnight post treatment is always a really, really useful thing to do to make sure that the treatments are actually working and are effective. But loads of information on the SCOPS website around that, which is definitely worth taking a look at.
And we'll put the link to SCOPs on the notes as well, won't we, Colin, for that accompany this podcast. So can you comment on Nematodirus at all, Colin?
Well, Nematodirus is the really interesting one because some of the disease outbreaks that we've seen have been down to Nematodirus. And you know, here we are now, mid-July. We're probably past the main traditional risk period for Nematodirus, in that we would normally expect to see a risk period earlier in the season, usually after a cold period, and then the weather warms up. And that usually is the trigger for a Nematodirus hatch and the risk for Nematodirus, in that the worm eggs usually like to respond to a cold shock before hatching. And that chill before hatching is the usual trigger for the Nematodirus forecast and the Nematodirus risk that we see earlier in the season. But again, parasites are changing, and you know, research work that's been carried out in recent years has shown that there are a quite a high proportion on some farms of Nematodirus eggs that don't need that cold shock in order to hatch. And therefore, it is quite possible to see summer Nematodirus and indeed autumn Nematodirus in some flocks. And it does seem that this year we are seeing more summer Nematodirus than we would normally expect. We didn't see it in May and early June like we would normally expect to see it in Scotland, but we are seeing it in July and August. And the real difficulty about Nematodirus is sometimes you can see severe clinical signs before the fecal worm egg counts rise. So it's why it's really, really important to monitor just how the sheep are looking, their body condition, their weights, any evidence of scour, investigate any losses, because you can sometimes see clinical disease or commonly see clinical disease for Nematodirus. Egg counts are high. What we're also seeing as well in some of the fecal worm egg count monitoring that we're doing is some of these samples have very, very high Nematodirus counts in them. So it's obviously not severe enough to kill a lamb in these instances, but it's definitely severe enough to significantly compromise them, to cause some gut damage, possibly to cause some secondary renal damage. And it's that sort of legacy that's going to really impact lamb performance as they go through the season and get to weaning.
Thanks, Colin. Just looking quickly at biosecurity, do you have any top tips when you're buying in sheep or when the farmer buys in sheep?
Really pertinent at this time of year because we're approaching sale season, and quarantine dosing again is something to really, really think about when buying either replacement tups or buying replacement females for the sheep flock. Again, different circumstances, different requirements. There's a really, really good section on the SCOPS website on quarantine dosing and biosecurity for purchased sheep. So again, I'd probably refer listeners to that, and we'll put the links in the notes on as far as this podcast is concerned.
Yes, we'll do that, Colin. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners on PGE?
I think we've covered the majority of it. Test, don't guess, and monitor really closely at this point is the absolute critical thing. I think this year of all years, because there are worries about what's going to happen with blue tongue, it's as important as ever to try and get finished fat lambs away as quickly as possible this year, so we've not got a legacy of large amounts of lambs on farms through the late summer and autumn, if we can avoid it. So if ever there is a year to want to get lambs away quickly, this is the one. And what we have seen in previous years is that there very often is quite a long legacy of gut damage because of worms that occurs at this time of year, and the knock-on effects that has on lamb performance, lamb growth, and all the rest of it through to finishing. So really getting it right at this point, monitoring, discussing it with your vet, and trying to time any treatments, if indeed they are necessary, to be optimal, so that we don't use wormers when we don't need to. We use them as little as possible and as much as necessary is really, really important.
Okay, thank you, Colin. That's been a really useful overview. And please sign up or subscribe to our podcast. We've got a number of them now on various topics, and Colin has been in quite a few of them now, haven't you, Colin? So you've got it's been a really good to be able to pull on the expertise of our veterinary investigation officers around the country as they're at the coalface of what's going on with livestock disease. So thank you again, Colin, and thanks to our listeners for joining us.
Thank you.